What is happening? Welcome to another Plus Pitch podcast. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 15th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball, not the fact that I'm going to be turning much older in a week, and I don't like that, but we have Miles Davis as a reference for all Miles Davis Martin and the SB Roundup. Why? Because he went 6.2 innings and 100 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 5 strikeouts against the Reds. Do you want to say that? Against the Reds. This was not, though, a game of the kick change. It was not a game of the slider. Maybe it was, but it wasn't. This was a cutter at 89 miles per hour. At least Savant said, yes, this is a cutter. Now, Davis Martin has thrown a slider at like 87 and change previously, but it didn't have as tight movement as this cutter did. And Davis Martin went really right at it. 42 cutters thrown, 11 of them for whiffs is awesome. Nearly 50% usage against right-handers, and he did what David Cone calls the X games. That is, yes, you did have those cutters that did land on the plate away to right-handers, but a lot of them also went just off the plate. Well, then Davis Martin had the sinker that started off the plate and came back over. He's making an X with movement. One is coming back over the outside corner, and then the other one is coming off the outside corner, right? So I dig this for Davis Martin. Now, against lefties, a little different. The kick change is going to be more of a factor moving forward. That is, it will tell you if he's going to have a good game or not, because the cutter sinker approach doesn't quite work. You can throw some cutters, and he did against lefties, but it needs to be that kick change really taking over. But the thing is, that should be a good pitch. So Davis Martin is kind of interesting now. I'm not ready to say that Davis Martin is going to do this every time. This was a surprise start. That's cool. Oftentimes we see something like this and they get into it and then it doesn't work for a game. Then they abandoned it back. They just completely leave it. And it's also the White Sox. And I don't love the fact that it's the White Sox. So I'm not quite in on 12 teamers. And also he gets the Mariners in Chicago next. So that's not in Seattle at the T. So that's not fun. So I would not really go for Davis Martin yet, but I do love the fact that this is an 89 mile per hour cutter that's doing all the work. Eric Fede against the Phillies, once again going shutout ball, but this was 5.2 innings of it. This was 3 hits and 4 walks and 3 Ks. This looks like a little bit of a Vargas rule, but then again, it's the Tigers and the Diamondbacks and then the Rangers. So we're not going to go in on this. Billy Falter, I got to say, 78 pitches, 3.2 innings. He's not hurt or anything like that. He just was inefficient. And 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 5 walks, and 3 Ks. So 5 walks. But here's the thing. Bailey Falter, who I've often said, like, hey, he should go to the Rays because he's an extension boy. It is going to ridiculous levels now. It's not like it's 7 feet or 7.2. 7.6 feet of extension. Oh my gosh. That is bonkers. Now, it could just be a calibration error for a day. Maybe it was, you know, the Mets are weird about it or something. I don't think so. I don't know. And Billy Falter's at that. That's like 100th percentile. The only ones I've really seen at 7.5 and 7.6 are Jacob Mizorowski, who's not even in the majors yet, Logan Gilbert, and Bailey Ober. Those are the only ones off the top of my head I can really think of. It's ridiculous. So Bailey Falter, who has thrown 93 doing that before, it was more like 91, 92 here, could be something if he figures out how to actually utilize it. And here's the thing. I don't think the Pirates are utilizing this extension enough for Falter, because what he should be throwing, if you are an extension guy, you need to have something else that is utilizing the tunneling of the fastball as much as possible. The things that could be a circle change looks like it. Billy Falter doesn't have that. It could be a really good splitter. It doesn't really have that. It could be a hard cutter. Doesn't have that. It could be a sinker off of it that I think sometimes he throws. But what we're really seeing are curveballs and sliders, and that is not taking advantage of this enough. So this is why I keep saying once Bailey Falter goes to the Rays, I'm just use the Rays as like a generalized organization that knows how to take advantage of the nuances of their pitchers, then he'll actually be something. It's crazy. You normally don't see a high extension guy like this not succeed. But that's what's happening with Falter right now. Oh, man. Some point, the Pirates are going to be like, whatever, I'm going to get too good of a trade deal. I'm just going to do this, whatever, by the Billy Falter, fine. Jesus Luzardo against the Cardinals got the win. 7 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. He just keeps cruising, man. 56% CSW on that sweeper. Oh, it's so good. And everything was just so well spotted. The changeup, my gosh, down away to right-handers? This was the changeup location I've been wanting. And he threw sinkers inside to lefties. The last pitch he threw in the 7th inning was a 98 mile per hour sinker inside to a lefty. And if you remember in the offseason, I said about Luzardo Not that, hey, scrap the slider and throw a sweeper. I didn't know that was going to happen. Not a single person could have told you that was going to happen. Anyone that said that Luzardo is going to have a breakout because of that, absolutely not. And this is why we are not prophets. We can only do so much here on the outside as analysts. Like, this is how a lot of breakouts happen, is that you see sweepers or a new pitch all of a sudden show up and do really well. Like, you cannot predict that. But what I did say is, look, two things. One, Luzardo needs to not be throwing that slider to right-handers as much. And I suggested throwing changeups instead. What happened was a sweeper. Okay, that's a different way, and that's great. But the second thing is something I'm really happy that he's doing, which is I said that he should be throwing his fastball inside and not away to lefties because he gets a ton of horizontal break. And what does he do? Not only does he throw the fastball inside, but he actually makes it a sinker proper, which is even better. So essentially, Luzardo took the two things that I wanted him to do and then created new pitches to fill that void instead of just adapting what he had. Yes, that is so cool. Bryce Elder against the Nationals. Here's a crazy thing. 6 innings of 1 earned run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. That's not so nuts because it is the Nationals. Fine. But it's that that Atlanta's maybe considering. I mean, this is from a beat writer who is suggesting it. But there will be a logjam with Atlanta soon. And that might mean that Bryce Elder is in the rotation instead of Grant Holmes, is what the beat writer is suggesting. I don't think that's going to happen. Atlanta must recognize this is a Koufax, right? This is fortunate against the Nationals. And look, Grant Holmes just did really well too. Like, you can't, you really can't rely on this with Elder. Like, this is not the Spencer Turnbull situation where you're getting rid of Turnbull for Tywin Walker or something like that, you know? Randy Vasquez against the Angels, 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. You get the gold star. And Vasquez, I gotta say, like, he throws enough strikes. He's working with the cutter well, and he's just kind of throwing enough stuff kitchen sink that it can work like this. He is not a guy that you want to rely on constantly. Koufax is there for him too here. He's just the kind of pitcher that he has like a decent enough run right now, but it's not even a Vargas rule worthy one. He just is in a position where he's giving himself a chance to get outs and get through games. And sometimes that happens, you know, 3 times, 4 times in a row or something like that. But that is not really the kind of guy you want to go for at all. Luis Castillo versus Will Warren was the game that Eno Saris and I broadcasted as a live broadcast podcast of The Craft. And this was so awesome. I'm really sad that we can't show you the video because it is MLB.TV footage and it is the rules of playback that they cannot share a replay of that publicly. I understand. That said, this was amazing. So fun. And I think it's the future of broadcasting. It's something I think is the future of pitcher lists as a whole. I want to be doing these as much as possible. It's hard because it's very time consuming. And we're not at a place that it is absurdly beneficial revenue-wise, and we can't really afford to have everyone hired and brought on for these. However, I'm going to try to do them as much as I can, because this was me and Eno Saris talking for 6 innings about Luis Castillo and Will Warren as they were pitching, and telling you how we felt being able to talk to you on playback and have this amazing chat back and forth. And it's essentially just be like hanging out and talking about baseball, and it never felt stilted. It never felt forced. It was just like, yeah, this is the best time ever. I can't wait for that to be more of a regularity, and huge thanks to Eno for being up for that. So we watched Luis Castillo. We actually weren't really that impressed as we watched it. He got away with a little bit. He did get 17 whiffs, and it's because the slider was better than we've seen. We had about 2 whiffs, actually 1 whiff total, I think, the last 2 games on the slider, and he really locked in with it against the Yankees at many times, especially with Judge and Ben Rice. This changeup is not really the pitch that we want it to be. He had like 1 really good one, I want to say, maybe 2. And the four seamer, yes, his velocity was better as he got through the start here than we have seen previously. He also kept the four seamer upstairs effectively to utilize his height adjusted VAA. There were times that he really didn't have that command, but it really felt like a struggle to get everything for Luis Castillo, right? He was really doing everything he could to get through this lineup, and it worked. He got out of some jams. All that stuff. I'm still tepid on the future of it, but there is something to be said about veterans kind of figuring out a way to get through it. And I've had Luis Castillo ranked pretty low. I had him around the 50s or so, and saying like, you are in the doghouse, Luis Castillo. And I was really worried about this Yankee start. To see him kind of step up his game is cool. I want to see him do one more for me to feel like, okay, fine, I'm really underrating you here. This was in Seattle, to be fair. that did, of course, help a little bit. Chris Bassett, I'll talk about Will Warren in a moment. Chris Bassett did not have his curveball against the Rays, and it hasn't really been there, save for a couple starts this year. And he was able to get through this one. You don't really want to go for it against the Padres. I think this was one we got a bit fortunate. 9 base runners for just 1 run in a Philly against the Rays with 5.2 innings and 1 run. Ryan Weathers returned. And Gavin Williams had a good start. Logan Henderson, should we go after that? And of course, Will Warren and many others. And we'll talk about all of them after this break. Ryan Weathers against the Cubs got the win. 5 innings, 1 run, 2. It's 1 walk and 5 strikeouts. I classified this as a still ill for Weathers. And what do you know? He went 97 miles per hour, which is great. It's what we saw in the spring. It's a tick up from last year. He also had extra vert that we saw from the spring. So it was 16 inches of vert, maybe actually closer to 17 at times. And last year, that was around 15 inches of vert from Ryan Weathers. So all the gains we saw in the spring and before his injury are still there. And that's awesome. Now, he has a bit of a tighter sweeper to go against lefties. He has some extra drop, also 2 inches more drop on that changeup this year. And he does have to deal with the Cubs again, and I don't love that. We probably won't see the adrenaline that we saw in this one in that game, but I'm picking up Ryan Weathers. Where I'm going to rank him on Monday, I don't know yet. I might just keep him where he is, and it's just one game. I want this to be a thing where I can really believe into it. The two problems with Weathers are, one, it's the Marlins. You have a bad defense behind you, and you also have just not a good offense. But also, Ryan Weathers has had a tendency over the years to flash something and then fade. And I don't know how long this will last as far as skill set goes. Gavin Williams, 5 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. We saw the cutter show up 7 times, not 4, 7. And he also got strikes on a lot of his pitches. Wait, just kidding. It's just a 4-seamer. Man, the sweeper wasn't so bad, and it was effective a decent amount against righties. But my gosh, like, we need a secondary pitch that goes 60% strikes every game. Like, that's it. But Nick, it was a good start. 5 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. Right, you see how good he can be. Imagine if he actually had that secondary. Imagine. Ugh, so close. Logan Henderson against the Guardians. 5 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. This was a bit of a gamble if he went for this, even though it was the Guardians. Logan Henderson can be good, can be bad. And it was interesting to see that pretty much everything was in the top half of the zone. Like, changeups that are, I think, the best thing that Logan Henderson offers, supposed to be down and away. And these were all in the upper half. Now, he had success with it, and that's cool. But I don't know. Four seamers were around there, too. Had some really nice moments upstairs at a 93 with a good flat attack angle. And actually, some decent vert. There is something there. Like, that four seamer up, changeups really mapping with it can work. I want to see a little bit more from the breakers, but I think I want to jump in on Logan Henderson. At the same time, the Orioles might mess him up. The shag rug is still present. I don't know, and I'm saying that I'm not in, but I feel also that in 12 teamers there are not as many fun options out there, and Logan Henderson actually might be a dude, so I'm okay going after it. Will Warren, as I mentioned before, 9 strikeouts, 5 innings. Should be 0 earned runs, but they gave that stupid LeMahieu error, like that stupid play at first, a hit instead of an error. I don't get it. So it should be 3 hits and 1 walk, but now it's 4 hits. Fine. Whatever. This was so fun to watch with Eno, and the sweeper was so filthy, but only a 41% strike rate in the end. We love the fact that he's tunneling with his curveball against lefties. That is, against lefties, this curve is coming in with drop as opposed to the sweeper, and batters are struggling to figure out which is the sweeper and which is the curve, which allows them to throw these backdoor sweepers, and then the curveball's underneath it, and they don't know if it's coming further back over the plate or just going underneath the zone, which is really nice. The sinker was really good against right-handers backdoor. The changeup has moments, and I really wish that Will Warren would get a better feel for it. The biggest question mark really is getting those strikes against lefties and figuring out how to really establish an at-bat. He's still struggling he's really battling himself more than the batter a lot. You can see the game plan, at least you can witness as he goes, like he's trying to do things and generally like it's around that area, which is a good step forward. It's like a number 5 command. It's like a 3 to 4 on the tier 5 scale. But Will Warren, I think, is really working well at this. And the fact that he has a sinker with legit drop that is a very big separation from the 4-seamer is something that I think he's not utilizing enough. I think that should be a down and away sinker to left-handers, because that should be getting ground balls galore as batters will roll over it. And as long as he keeps it down, I think that's another area that Will Warren can really excel in. And having that flat four seamer, I mean, it is flat. It's like a 1.5. You meet high adjusted VA, which is above average, and you will get whiffs upstairs. That is the game plan. Sinkers low, four seamers up, sweepers to right handers away. Sinkers, I guess you can do backdoor. That's fine with that sink. And then you have changeups that eventually turn into both handedness. You have curveballs that you throw with that sweeper to left handers as a sweeper backdoor. Like, this all is there. Good leash with the Yankees. I'm in on Will Warren. More so than Clark Schmidt, honestly. I think Clark Schmidt's more in kind of a purgatory land of all of his, what he does. I think the stuff is overall actually better with Will Warren. You have Ryan Pepiot against the Jays. Six innings, 300 runs, six hits, one walk, and seven strikeouts. Look, he was going to be shut out here until an 0-2 pitch in the sixth inning with two outs was a fastball down the middle that Kirk hit it for a three-run homer. He was that close. Oh, man. And what's also kind of annoying is that the changeup had a 33% strike rate, just 1-for-15 CSW. And that four-seamer, by the way, was just killing it throughout the game. Like, I get why he went 0-2 four-seamer. You just can't throw it down the middle like that. The slider was a strike pitch, but it wasn't filthy. It wasn't really getting all those whiffs and going where he really wants to, down and in a place where you would get those whiffs. So it's Pepiot, who has an elite four-seamer and two secondaries that should be getting whiffs, and he didn't in this one, and he still almost went six shutout here, right? With five hits, one walk. Ugh, so close. Austin would have been an eighth strikeout. I think, was the last batter a strikeout? I think it was, maybe. I don't know. I don't remember entirely. Yoshinobu Yamamoto against the Athletics. Got the win, six innings, 300 runs. Yeah. I mean, really, this is awesome to see that Yamamoto is expanding his arsenal from being curveball splitter, four-seamer. He's trying out cutters. You know, he's trying out sinkers. I love this for Yamamoto, and I love the fact that the Dodgers honestly be careful with him. Like, I'd rather just have him go once a week and be good with that than pushed and maybe hurt by August or so. Like, this is working out really, really well. He's absolutely inside that top 10 moving forward. You have Patrick Corbin against the Rockies and Rocky Road. I took a chance in Guillotine League. I was like, you know what? It is Rocky Road. Corbin is pitching as well as we can ever hope. And what do you know, six innings, 300 runs, four hits, one walk, and nine strikeouts. An immovable object meets an unstoppable force. And that was the opposite of that. What is, like, bad things versus bad things? Some one of them has to be good. This is pretty cool. So you can drop Patrick Corbin now. That's all. I just wanted this one start. You have Jameson Tynan against the Marlins. He did what he was supposed to do. It was actually kind of cool to see four-seamers upstairs and then curveballs down to lefties. Like, that was awesome. And then you have sweepers going down and away to righties. He gets at Miami and then Rocky Road and then hosting the Reds. Oh my gosh, Jameson Tynan, have a run. This is going to be awesome. This was a six innings, 300 runs, four hits, zero walks, and seven strikeouts. You have Kyle Hendricks surviving against the Padres. Awesome. You don't want to go for that. Nick Lodolo against the White Sox. A little unfortunate. He missed so many four-seamers out of the zone. So 4-1 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks against the White Sox. Really annoying, but I think you start him against the Pirates, and if it's really bad there, then maybe not against the Cubs, but I think it's going to be fine. Bailey Ober, 4.2 innings of 300 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks against the Orioles. Was not fun. He had the four-seamer at 17 inches of vert at 91 miles per hour upstairs, and that's cool, but the slider went 0-for-11 whiffs, and he was really laboring in at-bats to really get, you know, really put guys away. So it's just unfortunate. I just think he's a Holly, and that's cool. He's like an SP 3-4, and that's it. Colton Gordon, MLB debut for the Astros against the Royals. 4.1 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. Yeah, he had this weird double at one point that was a ground ball up the middle that hit the second base back, sure. But he's 91 from the left side with sliders and changeups that are fine, and it's just, no, you don't want to do that. Michael Lorenzen on the other side of that game against the Astros, 7.1 innings of 400 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. Careful Icarus here with 200 runs into the 8th inning, and he had it, he was there. But the thing is, it was 77 pitches after 7, so they threw him out there, and then that's when that happened. He gets the Giants and Reds on the road next, so that could work for those in 15-teamers. And 12s, I don't really feel like you need to. Maybe the Reds start, but it's too little that you get back for the ceiling. Clay Holmes against the Pirates, 6 innings, 400 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. He's, you know, the skill set is not, he doesn't really have enough of a leader pitch. This is what I talk about, like the big out pitch. What is it for Clay Holmes? Sometimes it's the sweeper, I guess, but that's always there for strikes. Sometimes it's the sinker, but he can't always put in the right spot. It's a little annoying. So you're going to have these starts like this, but obviously you just keep rolling with him. Dean Kramer, cutter and sinker did really well against right-handers, but lefties, it just wasn't a good approach. And yeah, we don't want to go for Kramer. Hoagland got the Dodgers, whatever, and he might not actually show up again because JT Ginn would come back. But let's say he does face the Angels. I think you still go with Gunnar Hoagland. I think the four-seamer and changeup combination is really cool. And there were some good sweepers, the righties, but he did tuck it like Will Warren did too much. But you can see how this very much works. Mitchell Parker, we don't really want to go to until the whole thing is working, and it's not right now, so he didn't do well against Atlanta. Eduardo Rodriguez, disappointing against the Giants. And we can drop him for the Dodgers, but you might want to come back for the Pirates and Nationals in 2 weeks for a two-step. So consider that one. And he nibbled a ton here with 44% strikes on the changeup against the Giants. Like, come on, man. You don't need to do this. And there are so many waste pitches in the four-seamer. Chase McDermott showed up in the doubleheader for the Orioles. 3 innings and 4 runs for its 3 walks, 5 Ks. He was recovering from a lat injury. He wasn't ready to go, really. He has really good vert on the four-seamer, 19 inches. But he was all over the place with the pitch. And yeah, he's not a polished guy at the moment. Maybe later on. Ace is going to ace for Scooble with a golden goal. But then again, he had a careful licorice as he allowed 200 runs later on in the 7th inning. And that was it. But 11 strikeouts in 6.1 innings. Like, everything's fine. Hunter Dobbins also in that game against the Tigers. 5 innings, 5 runs, 9 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks. Everything is, nothing is really standing out with Hunter Dobbins, and this was also against the Tigers, so I don't really want to go for this at all. Jordan Hicks should be in the pen, 2 innings, 5 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Birdsong or Harrison are right there, and at this point, it's like, I'm sick and tired of this. I was so interested before because he was throwing 98, and he had good sinkers and everything, but no, he hasn't really looked good for a while. Don't do this. I think the Giants really should make a swap. He's got reliever written all over him. He was before. And Tony Senzatella does whatever he does. Thanks for allowing Corbin to get a win here. And Simi Woods Richardson has actually been demoted to AAA, which is a little surprising. 4 innings of 6 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks, fine. But 13 over 52 whiffs on his four-seamer, 93, with 19 inches of vert is not a joke. I mean, 70% strikes in the curve and slider, like, it's kind of there, but he's still hittable. But I can see how it eventually works here, and he would get a favorable schedule of the Guardians, Rays, and going into Seattle. But I mean, I wasn't in because he really hadn't put it all together, so I guess they're gonna just see in AAA. It does mean that Zebby Matthews could be appearing. I would be stashing that. It could be Festa. I don't really want to go for Festa, but if it's Zebby Matthews, absolutely. I've been stashing him for a little bit, expecting this move to happen at some point, and here you go. Come on, we want Zebby. Let's do this. Sonny Gray against the Phillies. 3.2 innings of 7 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. It's really unfortunate of a day. Just kind of happens with Sonny Gray at times. Don't worry too much about it. And Aaron Nola, my gosh. 3.2 innings of 9 runs, 12 hits, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts against the Cardinals. I watched this. So many of these hits were on pitches outside of the zone. And yeah, he allowed 3 home runs, fine, and like, okay. But like, it was really laborious to watch him just go through this. There were even 2 infield singles in the third of Bohm in the final inning that he got pulled for, and then 2 more runs from that, right? Like, man. Now, at the same time, I've been back and forth with Nola. Nola wasn't good at the beginning. Then he really got into a rhythm. And I thought things were great. The velocity was back. Command is good. And even command here wasn't even like the worst thing ever. This was really a big disaster thing, and at the very least, we should be recognizing that the floor is lower because the skills are a little bit lower. That said, Aaron Nola is not destined for this, and I feel like he should absolutely still be a hold on a Holly throughout the entire year in new teams. This was some really bad fortune in here, but obviously he's not as good as he used to be, and I think that's very important to understand too. All right, that is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.